probably the way to get people engaged again is to sing. So let's pull people in with the sound of our singing. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Who's got the PowerPoint buttons? Is it Ellie? Ellie? Ellie, have you got the PowerPoint buttons? Great. Let's stand and sing. Amen, and do sit down. We've spent a little bit of time looking back. In this session before lunch, we're going to look forward and also give people a chance to ask questions about the future. And I'm now going to dazzle you with a high-tech diagram. Okay, this is the diagram of church growth. And the danger is we start and we go heading up, we grow, and then we tail off and we plateau, and then actually we decline. And that is the story of most churches. So they grow and they grow and they grow and they plateau and they stay the same. The momentum runs out and they plateau. And in fact, they don't plateau. They end up shrinking, declining. Numbers may be the same. They may still be the same group of people. But in terms of growing as Christians, growing and reaching out for the Lord, they're just settling down to a little club of people. And the danger for us is that we've been growing. And we don't want to hit the spot where we just plateau. We say, this is about right. you know, we're about right in this room, this setup, this way of doing things, these people, we'll plateau and we'll just tick along. Because if we tick along, we'll in fact shrink. So the challenge in church life is to keep saying, before we plateau, to notice when we're in danger of possibly plateauing and then doing things that stop us from plateauing. Classic thing to do would be to plant a new church. So rather than plateauing, we keep going by planting a new church or changing the way we do things totally. But the wisdom as we think about our life together is to say, when are we going to be in danger of just plateauing? Because once you start plateauing, it's very hard to get momentum going again. The wisdom is to preempt it and say, how can we stop doing that? How can we keep growing? And as I say, one of the things that will stir us up again and keep us growing and depending on the Lord and kind of focused again would be to plant another church. There'll come a point where we'll say, we need to get rid of about 40 people and then you go and start something else, somewhere else. That'll wake us up. It'll wake up the people who go because they'll suddenly be very responsible for what happens. Do you remember how the 40 of us, when we first started, felt incredibly responsible for what happened? And we were all praying like we'd never prayed before, and we were committed like we'd never been before. And those who stay behind will get woken up again as well, because suddenly people who are doing key bits of leadership will go. And the people staying behind will go, oh, what should we do? Oh, we better step up and take responsibility. So one way of staying healthy is just to keep sending people away to avoid the plateau. That's what I live in fear of. It's what we should live in fear of, the plateau. So we're going to ask now, what are the dangers to watch out for? The dangers that will kind of head us into plateau, and what are the opportunities to work on that will keep us growing? What we mean by dangers, well, things like we stop taking in the Word of God. I mean, that's an obvious thing, but we could just be the sort of people who go, oh, we love sermons, we love teaching, we take notes, but we stop actually taking it in and living it out. So that first question in small group, remember the first question? How did you get on last week? Great danger, we'll stop asking that question. Great danger, which means we'll just become unreal. We grew at the beginning because of a very strong sense of ownership. We're all in this together. If anything's going to happen, we've got to do it together. We was the language we used. The bigger we get, the greater the danger of becoming more like a show we watch. Church is something they are doing, and we've come to watch. So the danger is we'll become less committed. And you might say, well, why is that a problem? Well, it's a problem because one of the things we've heard from what people have been saying is we have grown as we have rubbed up against one another in community, you see. And that's why we've grown as Christians. It's also why we've grown in reaching out to our friends. We said, look, come and get involved with these people. Come and meet my friends from church. And if we become a show that a few people are running and others watch, it's not just we lose the community, but we lose any sense of growing together in Christ, and we will lose our missionary edge as well because we'll just become a show. And numbers and a crowd is not the same as growing disciples. We could easily draw a crowd. We do all kinds of things that draw a crowd. It's not the same as growing disciples, though. So there is a danger, it seems to me, as we get bigger, we'll slide into, oh, someone else will do it. So we'll be less fussed about racing back for 4 o'clock when we're away for a weekend. People used to race back by 4 o'clock because they were committed. And now there's more of a sense of, I won't be missed. At least that'll be the danger, won't you? I won't be missed. Which means we won't be there to encourage one another. We won't be there to hear the news, to know what to be praying for, to be learning together. So there's a real danger. We'll miss out on something as basic as being here because we'll feel, I won't be noticed. One of the reasons we have small groups on a Sunday so that we do notice who's around. Not because we're the thought police, but because we want to care for one another. There's a danger, it seems to me, that we'll get proud. You know, we'll hear people say, oh, you're that church that's growing. You're that new church. I've heard about you. And we'll get proud. And that would be a very, very ugly thing. And it will stop us from praying because we'll start thinking, hey, we're quite good at this. We know how this works. We don't know how it works. We're totally out of our depth. We're totally incompetent to bring growth. So we must never become proud. The basic characteristic of a community of people who've understood the gospel is that they are humble because they've understood the truth about us. The truth about him. Humility is the great mark of the Christian life. But when we get bigger, a little bit sort of more well known, we get a bit proud. Or there's a danger as we get bigger, we'll get too busy with programs. Everyone's energy is taken up sorting out the structures, sorting out the stuff. And wasn't it lovely, therefore, in the thanks, to hear that people were talking about people? Great danger is we'll get sucked into
systems, programs, those sorts of things. We don't want to, but that'll be the force of gravity, because it is just more complicated to organize 150 people than it was to organize 40 people. It just takes more doing. So those are some of the dangers, perhaps. Some of the opportunities, well, what do you want to keep doing more of? We're going to keep growing. We've got to keep finding more time to pray, haven't we? We've got to keep finding more time to spend with our friends who are not yet Christians. It'd be a tragedy if the bigger we got, the busier we got, the less time we therefore had for others. It'd be just balmy. I think toddlers is one of the things we're giving thanks for, but it's also a fantastic opportunity that we'll want to work out ways in which we can all back. So it's not just, people with small children. It's wonderful to hear how people have been baking cakes or people have been going along to help to set people free to be building the friendship so that the people who can make the friendships aren't spending all their time, clearing up and doing things like that. Going independent, having been a legal church in our own right, will be a great opportunity. It won't bring growth by itself. We are now a church. It won't happen, but it is a fantastic opportunity because it means if it goes through, and we need to pray that it does, we will be allowed to do things across parish boundaries. If we become what's called a bishop's mission order, we'll be allowed to plant churches across parish boundaries. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that exactly what we want to be allowed to do? It would be fantastic to have a license to do that, to be legally allowed to do that. It won't make us grow, but it will give us an opportunity to grow. And so as we... one of the other things I think that particularly struck me is the key to keeping on going will be to keep training new people. So if you're responsible for any area of ministry, you're saying, who is my successor? And one of the dangers is people have been around a bit, have got good at what they're doing, and we'll think, well, leave it to them. They've been around a bit. They know what they're doing. When we started, none of us knew what we were doing. We took risks. Loads of people did things they had never done before. And the danger is we now think, oh, the only sort of people who can really help are people who really know what they're doing. And so there's the group of people who do everything and the other people who watch. And these people stay kind of young and these people get worn out. And so one of the things we'll have to do is if we're going to keep growing is the people who've been doing things for a while need to step down or step aside and train up people to take their places. So that when 40 people go away, there are people around who can take things on. That'll mean risks. It'll mean... we won't always get the person who is most gifted at something doing things. We'll take risks. It means we'll say, okay, we're training up musicians. We're training up people to run a junior church. Those kinds of things. We won't just say, well, let's get the people who are excellent already doing it. We'll train up others. That'll be risky. And the bigger we get, the riskier that will feel. So have a think together in groups. What are the dangers that we face? What are the things we need to be doing? And let's think not just they as a church, but we as an individual. What will it mean for me to contribute to growth? And what are the ways in which I could be the enemy of it and actually accelerate the plateau? What are the sort of things I could do that will accelerate the plateau? So in groups, just think out loud about those sorts of things. And what we'll do again is just hear some of the ideas. We won't go around all the groups, some of the ideas. And with these sheets... We'll go back to the leadership team and we'll just ponder what are the issues that are coming out and we'll kind of write it up and get back to everyone and say, look, these are the issues we face as a church together. So your thinking now will not just disappear into the ether. It'll shape what we do as a leadership team and set the sort of course for the next year. Before you go into groups, though, are there questions people want to ask that would help you to think about these sort of things? Questions about our life together as a church or questions about the future or just things you're not quite sure about? Things you want to hold us to account over that will just help you do your thinking. Yeah, Claire. Did you say for the next plant? Yeah. One of the things we've learned is they take longer to do than we at first thought. When we first started, we thought, well, we'll do this for 2 years, and about 2 years' time, we'll probably do another one. And all our sort of the wisdom and experience of other churches is certainly the first one takes a much longer because you've got to get a really strong culture of people knowing what they're doing. And then particularly if you're then going to export that, those who go have really got to get it. So that the pattern seems to be, the sort of timeline we've talked about is if we planted a church every 5 years and every church we planted a church every 5 years, that would be great. So that means we've been going about 3 years. Well, in the next 2 years, we need to be thinking and planning and taking steps towards that. And actually, if in the next 2 years we've not done anything like that, we've got to ask questions, what are we doing? Have we plateaued? Are we just going, we're about 150 or so adults, that's about right, let's keep it at that. There should be a point where we're going, hey, we're too big for this room. So we've got to go. And isn't that great? So our hand is kind of forced. But it's certainly in the next 2 years, we need to get this BMO, this Bishop's Mission Order, the license to do it. And then we need to start thinking, okay, now we've got permission to do it. What are our plans? Where do we start to head? But I think from this summer onwards, as in the end of the summer, this autumn, as in September is the time we're supposed to get the Bishop's Mission Order. From then onwards, we need to be thinking, right, what are we going to do with this Bishop's Mission Order and begin to plan? Thank you. Any other sort of questions like that will just help you and your thinking about how we operate? Kenny. Yeah. Thank you. It's a very good question. Did everyone hear the question? Is how do we reach out to the whole community around here, not just our neighbours and friends and so on? Kenny, I confess, I think that's really hard because community begins with our neighbours and our colleagues and our friends. In other words, that's the starting point. And sometimes community can be a bit sort of an abstract thing. And so we think if we're just sort of a visible presence, that'll reach out. And that won't be enough. It will start with reaching out. You change a community by changing the individuals. So we start one life at a time. But you're right to ask the question, which is, how do we make an impact on this area of Bristol? Well, it will begin by individuals becoming Christians. But are there things we can do? Is there a need that the community as a whole has that we can speak into? Now, I don't know the answer to that. One of the issues is we have this slightly strange status as not really existing as a church. So we're not allowed to particularly go into a school and say, hey, we'll do your assemblies for you. We'll go in. You know, we can't set ourselves up as anything without people saying, certainly other Church of England churches saying, you're on our patch. That's tricky. Sometimes that's tricky. I was with a friend who is in an old-fashioned parish system, and I was sort of saying, wow, you have amazing opportunities because you get to go. You have an official permission to go into all the institutions and all the kind of organizations, and you have an official presence. So on one level, I was saying to him, wow, you have great opportunities. On one level, he was saying, yes, but a lot of it is a complete distraction from actual life-changing mission. Do you see what I mean? So I agree. We need to ask that question. How do we kind of, as a church, make an impact on the community? But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that it all begins with my neighbours becoming Christians and the people down my street. It starts small. It's not about, you know, a poster on a bus or those kinds of things. But I think we need to keep asking that question. It's a good question. I don't want to bat it away. I'm just saying I'm not quite sure how to think. Thank you. Claire. Thank you. Yeah. So that's an example of saying, what is a need in the community? Let's set up a toddlers group to meet that need. And we're meeting people we don't already know. And that's why that's exciting. So we're meeting people who are not just our friends and our colleagues. We're meeting strangers who we pray become our friends. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? Or Matt, yeah. Yeah, thank you. It's interesting about saying numbers can be deceptive, and I suppose numbers can be deceptive, but if they are numbers of people who are growing disciples, numbers are really exciting because a number represents a person. I'm not sure exactly what we are. We're about just over 150 on our address list. And what I notice is there are some folk here today who aren't on our address list. So that might, I think Rebecca was saying there's about 10 people who are here on the day who aren't on our address list. What does that mean? 160 people who think they put themselves on our address list? Our address list is sort of what? An indicator of people who say, yeah, I like the information. We probably have just over that in our orbit, as in there are people who kind of show up occasionally or we've got contact with or so on. But it's about that kind of order. And about, what is it, 30 children? As in little children under, yeah, something like that. If that represents 150 growing disciples, that's very exciting. It's very exciting. And bizarrely, it puts us on sort of Church of England scales as in the sort of large church bracket, which we never think of ourselves as. We think of ourselves as a small church. But in Church of England scale, it puts us in the, I think it's the top 10% of church sizes. With that comes responsibility, therefore. Thank you. Any other questions like this? Say that again. What are we writing down? Oh, the next bit on the sheets that are on. There's a sheet there. So same sheets, but we're just writing under similar sort of structure. Where are the dangers and where are the opportunities? Okay. Any other questions? That was a good practical question. Very sharp, Nicholas. Who's not got sight of a sheet? Okay, any other less practical questions, wider issue questions? Going, I've got a wink or a smile from anyone? Going. Go on, Jim. Oh, Holly, sorry. Hold on, friends, Holly's got a question. Yes, thank you. Did you hear that question? A very good question, which is, would we ever think along the lines of the Headley Park model? Remember, Headley Park started same sort of time we did, and what they did was they moved into a really struggling church community where there were just a few people who wanted help, and they sort of they grafted onto them and brought fresh energy and fresh life. And the short answer to that is absolutely yes, as in we wouldn't rule that out. Our goal is to grow a church that grows more churches, and there will be a variety of ways in which we do that. And when we look at certain corners of Bristol, when we see some small, struggling churches, there are already places I've had conversations with the diocese about, not saying we want to go there, but what's the future for that church? We can all think of churches that are quite small, quite struggling, and I've said to the bishop, is that a church where if we sent some people and some leadership, is that a way we could help? So that is absolutely a model that we should include in our thinking. We won't just be starting from scratch. We just want to grow the church. We don't want to sort of, there's not one model of doing it. Yeah, thank you. That's a very helpful question. Let's in our groups then. Just think of, do you get what we're doing? What are going to be the dangers? What are going to be the things we need to do? But think personal. What can I be doing to be part of this?